Amen. Immediately, let's go get the land. Amen. But the men quickly quieted this report. In verse number 31, they said, but the men who had gone up with them said, we're not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we are. Amen. And they gave them an evil or a bad report in verse 32. And they says that, we, you know, again, they talk about who they saw in verse 33. We saw giants in the land, and we saw giants, and we looked like grasshoppers. Amen. They saw giants, and they saw, they said about themselves, we're grasshoppers. Have we got a witness? Oh, but I could shout right there, because God likes to take a grasshopper and beat giants so he can get the glory. But they want to be positioned to where they can get the glory. And that's why you have to watch yourself, because God, amen, doesn't do things the way that we. Don't you think God knew how you all look? Are y'all giving God, are you telling God anything that he don't already know? Amen. And Caleb had to get them straight in verse 8. He says, if the Lord delights in us, amen, amen, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey, a land that is fertile and fruitful. It's not really, what Caleb is saying is that God is the determining factor, not the giants. Amen. But it's so normal, it's so natural, isn't it, to put the focus on the physical. To put the, it's easy to walk by sight. Amen. You can deal with that. But he says in verse 9, Caleb gave us some insight. He said, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear. That's another thing, amen. Our fear and our mind and our flesh are two things that messes us up, keeps us from our blessing. For they are bread for us. Amen. Their protection has departed from them because we are blessed and they are cursed. And we already told you that when you have the favor of God in your life, then you have the protection of God. They don't have no protection. Amen. They're wide open. They're vulnerable. And they don't have any protection. And so you need to recognize. And then he said in verse 10, chapter 14, verse 10, and you know what? The congregation got so mad with him, they were going to stone them. They were going to stone the minority, Caleb and Joshua. The whole congregation was going to stone these two spies. They sent 12, and these are two that they were going to stone. The Bible tells us that they was about to stone them, and then God intervened. God knows when to step in. Amen. Now we got to win. They were just about to rock them down. Amen. They were going to rock them down. Amen. And the Bible says that all of the congregation in verse 10 said, stone them with stones. That's what we think about what they're talking about. And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. And God just told Moses, the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, how long shall I deal with these people? They're rejecting me. How long, amen, do they not believe in me? And after all I've done, all the miracles, all the things that they have seen me do, amen, amen. This is before they marched out in the desert for 40 years. He just going, these people seen me come bring folk through the Red Sea. They seen what I did to Pharaoh. They knew about the plagues when God made darkness and disease everywhere else. But right there in Goshen where they were, there was no disease and there was no darkness. God took nature and he controlled nature. He said, they act like they don't know who I am. And he says, what I want you to do, Moses, I want to just strike them out. In verse 12, I will strike them with a pestilence or with a disease and kill them all and disinherit them. They won't get anything. And I'll make you, Moses, a nation greater and mightier than they. I'll just use you. I'll just use you. But I'm going to get rid of all this congregation. About 2 million people are telling me that they don't want to accept what I'm trying to give them. They are their own worst enemy. It was not their enemies that kept them out. It was not a lack of this or a lack of that. It was not none of that. None of the above. They stopped their own blessing. They are the ones that created this problem. These Israelites created. God says, I'm tired of trying to prove myself. Don't they know how good I've been to them? Amen. Amen. Moses said, don't do that, Lord. Amen. Moses, amen. They jump on Moses, but Moses would pray for him. In verse 13, Moses said, Lord, then the Egyptians are going to hear about it. And then in verse 15, he says, other nations are going to hear about it. And your name is at stake. And they're going to say in verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring them out, they're going to say that he had to just kill them in the wilderness. Don't do it. And I pray in verse 17 and 18, let the long suffering of the Lord prevail in abundance. Show them your mercy. Show them how loving. Show them how forgiving you are. Amen. Amen. Pardon their iniquity. Verse 19. Pardon the iniquity of these people. And the Bible said, then the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. Isn't it good to pray? Verse 20. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Moses prayed for them. They were about to be wiped out. God said, forget about them. I'll just start over with you, Moses. Amen. I'm tired of trying to prove myself. Sometimes you just get tired of trying to prove the folk. Amen. You got to prove yourself and prove yourself and prove yourself and keep on proving yourself and proving yourself. And then he says, look, but Moses stood on the side of the people and he prayed. And then he said, show them your greatness and show them your mercy. Amen. And Moses saved the day. Amen. And what we got to recognize here this morning is that God had brought them out over and over again, but they were their own worst enemy. And what we find out simply is that being their own worst enemies, notice the environment, the evidence, and the ear that we want to point out here. The environment, the evidence, and the ear are things we need to notice. Amen. God wants to do a blessing. God wanted to do a blessing, but the environment was not right. Amen. Because their attitudes were bad toward God. Amen. Their attitudes were bad. They were more focused on the giants. They were more focused. They didn't think they were able. Amen. And verse 33, we found out that they were concerned about the giants, and they talked about themselves being grasshoppers, but ain't nobody brought up God on their side. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They haven't seen all God has done, and ain't nobody brought up God. They are totally consumed with their flesh. They are totally consumed. And they have not brought God's name up yet. Only Caleb and Joshua were the ones talking about God. Amen. They were blinded, amen, by their flesh. And God, so what they said, you need to know what they said. In verse, the atmosphere of the environment that they put here is verse 20, verse 2 of chapter 14. You go back and you see, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, oh, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Amen. Well, I wish that we would have just died in the wilderness. Why had the Lord brought us out here in verse 3 to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be victims? Amen. And they got divided. They said, let us just make us another leader. We don't like what Moses is doing, and let's just go back to where we came from. In verse 4, we'll just go back to where we came from. Amen. We prefer death. We prefer to desert this whole thing and go back to where we came from. We don't believe that we there's doubt in our hearts, and we don't want to accept the blessing. And they came back and persuaded the whole congregation, got discouraged. Have I got a witness? And they decided that this is something that we're not going to do. Amen. Amen. In spite of the evidence, and we'll skip through this for the sake of time, despite of the evidence, all the history that they had with God. Have I got a witness? All that history was discarded. They didn't even pay attention to God in their history. They weren't paying attention to God in their history. And God makes this an amazing statement in verse 22. He says, after they get right up on the brink of the property to get to where God wants them to get into, God makes this statement. He says, I want you to just tell them to just turn around. Amen. And I want them to just go back to the wilderness. Amen. Verse 26, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, said, how long shall I bear this congregation against me? I heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Say now, this is my answer to their problem. Verse 28, one little verse. As I live, and I'm never going to die. Amen. I'm swearing by myself because I'm the only highest thing you can swear by. As I live, says the Lord of hosts, just as they have spoken in my hearing, so will I do with them. They wrote their own verdict. Oh, I wish I had time to. You see, the fact of the matter is, he said that they have set their own tone. Notice how one version put this verse, the Living Bible paraphrase. Tell them the Lord vows to do to you what you feared. The Lord, what you were afraid of happening, the Lord decided to let that happen. You were afraid of dying. Amen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make your fears come true. Because you don't have faith. I'm going to make your fears come true. Amen. Not for those who have faith, but for those who fear. And the Lord vowed, said, I'm going to do what you fear. And notice how this translation puts it. It says, now tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. The very thing I heard you say, that's what you're going to get. You wrote your own check. I let you do whatever you want to do, and I just let you fill in the amount. You write in your own check. Another version says this. Tell them, as surely as I live, says the Lord, the Lord's declaration, I will do to you exactly as I heard you say. I will do to you exactly as I heard you say. Amen. Amen. God says, I'm going to do to you exactly the way I heard you say it. That's what you said. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you, I'm going to let your words come true instead of mine. Since you know more than me. Since you have. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is that God is telling us that he will bless us. He will take care of us. He will deliver us. He will do what none other can do. And that's what happens in life, brothers and sisters. Amen. It's one thing for others to be against you, but it's another thing for you to be against you. Amen. It's something else when you are against you. And there are people who are trying to succeed in whatever the case may be. Amen. Whether you're trying to succeed in college. Amen. You know you're going to college. You know you're trying to get you a career together. And yet you go to college and you get caught up in wild parties and you get caught up in relationships and dating. Aren't you going to college? Do you really want to get through this? Really? Late at night, wild parties, fraternities, sororities. And you want to finish college? Amen. For you to go out there and get drunk and pick up habits and pick up relationships at this point is to be your own. Amen. Because when you're attaching yourself to something, you're trying to achieve something, and you're doing something opposite to what you're trying to achieve, then you become the problem. The teacher didn't fail. It's not nobody else. You are in charge of your destiny. I wish I had a witness here. The fact of the matter is, amen, amen. That's why I say about the country, amen. How can we burn our own flag, amen, amen? When you're trying to achieve something, when you start thinking about couples, amen, amen. Don't you, amen? Aren't you married? Have I got a witness? And if you know that you're married and you know that you're doing things that are hurting the marriage and you know things that are coming against the marriage and you keep somebody say if you repeat the same behavior, have we got a witness? The definition of insanity? Have we got a witness? Amen. I'll support him. I'll support him when he loves me, and I'll love him when she supports me. And go, and you get into caught into all these going a willy round in circles, just like they did in the wilderness. Amen. 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 Don't you want your marriage to work? Have you got a witness? Amen. Then don't you think you ought to be responsible? Don't you think you ought to be more accountable? Don't you think that you ought to work on the relationship at some point and make it work like it ought? Don't you see what's happening? To do all these things that you shouldn't be doing is to be your own worst enemy. Amen. 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 You need to learn to communicate. Are you somebody who knows how to communicate in your relationships? Do you talk? Amen. Do you communicate? You need to learn to speak without offending people. Amen. And you need to learn to listen without defending yourself. And when you do that, you take out all the fluff, and you're able to deal with the problem. Have I got a witness? Don't you want your marriage? Do you want this to work? What are you doing to make it work? Don't you know what gets on your spouse's nerve, and you still doing it? Have we got a witness? Haven't you slept on the couch long enough? How many times do you want to sleep on the couch? Amen. I'm going to get a little close. And the fact of the matter is that when you continue to, sometimes things don't work out because of us. We are in it. Amen. Whether you're dealing with your country, whether you're dealing with college, whether you are dealing with couples or even in a church. Amen. I've heard people talk about the church they belong to. Have we got a witness? It's going to get quiet in here. Amen. We're going to get quiet, Brother Todd. Amen. Amen. I've seen people not give to their own church. Have we got a witness? I've seen people not support their own church. Their church can need some help, and they won't even go help. I've seen folk put something else over their church and wonder why it's not succeeding. I've seen people not invite folk to their own church. I've seen people not bring folk to their own church. Amen. I've seen people not make themselves available to their own church. I've seen people gossip about their church, about their preacher, about their deacon, about the members in the church. I've seen people, aren't you in that church? What church you go to? I go to the church. Now, which church? You talking about the church down the street? No, I go to that church I'm talking about. And you want your church to be blessed, and you want your church to grow and to be fruitful. You are your own worst enemy. To your marriage, to your church, to your career, you are the one that's causing the problems. And God says, I have given you these blessings. And oftentimes, even in God says, what I hear in my ear is the same thing I'm going to give them. I was going to give them a blessing. I was going to give them a land. But they are against what I'm trying to give them. Amen. You have people who, you know, when you're trying to do something, even what our church is trying to do now, it's possible to start grumbling and to start mumbling about this and about that, and to promote other people and bring your own talk down to your own church and say what your church is not doing, or we're not this or we're not that. And you can promote other folk and brag on others, but you won't brag on your own preacher. You won't brag on your own church. You won't brag on your own program. You won't even give them encouragement. We don't want the preacher to get the big head, so let's just keep him humble and let's don't encourage him. Don't give him it's not about giving him money. We're not going to even give him an encouraging word. Let's just go in the opposite direction. God is saying that is what happened here. And when you're trying to do something, even what we're trying to do right now, it's possible for you to charge the atmosphere. Amen. The environment, to fill the environment with doubt. It can't happen. It won't happen in my life. Oh, you better be careful. What? Shh. Tell your neighbor, God might give you what you said. Whatever he heard you say. it can't, or it won't, or it I don't believe, or you watch what you say. Because, see, you're basing what you say on you and on the natural. You're not basing it on faith. You're basing it on the flesh. You're basing it on fear. You're basing it on the natural. From what I heard last, I heard God could do anything. God like it when the odds are against you. That's when he does his best work. And oftentimes he let the odds get against you so that people will know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side. But the same thing these people did are the same thing we do today. Have God over me. Let's just, we're trying to do something. Let's just charge the atmosphere with doubt. Let's just charge it with disbelief. Let's just talk about death. We're going to die. We're not going to. Let's just charge the atmosphere with discouragement. Let's just be discouraging in our language. Let's just charge the atmosphere, amen, with division. Amen. That's what they said. Let us divide and go back to Egypt and leave them here. Division. Doubt. Discouragement. They were talking about death. They were talking all these things. They were talking about defeat, not deliverance. They were talking about what God couldn't do. They didn't even bring up God. God said, y'all not including me? So what I'll do is I'll just let you all die in the desert. And I'll let the ones who believe it go in. Because whatever comes in my ear, that's what I'm going to do. And you didn't get in because you were your own worst enemy. It came out of your mouth. You wrote your own ticket. Have I got a witness? God is saying that he can do anything but fail. God is saying, I can make a way out of no way. And oftentimes we become our own problems. I didn't get into diets and things like that. You on a diet and you're going to bring home some bluebell and cook some, amen, some blackberry pie and with a checkerboard topping on it. And you're going to bring that home and right in your refrigerator late at night, you know what's going to happen. It's going to start screaming to the top of the ceiling. I'm waiting. Come on in here. I know you want, you've been thinking about me. Amen, amen. And to bring all that temptation around you, oftentimes a lot of marriages would be better if you didn't bring a lot of temptation around you. Don't even go where the temptation is. I've got a witness. Run from it. Amen. Don't set yourself up to fail. But it often happens because we are our own worst enemy. Have I got a witness? God wants us to be blessed. God wants to do great things. But oftentimes we do things to bring ourselves down. You know what happened to those spies? The Bible says those 10 spies, some of the men Moses had sent to explore the land who returned and made the community to grumble against him by spreading a bad report or an evil report. He said, these men responsible for spreading this bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Now, the others go into the desert and die, but these 10 that just brought back this bad report and keep spewing out all this negativism, they're going to die today. I'm going to wipe them out right now. They died because God had given them the land, and they wouldn't take it because of they were looking in their eyes of flesh, and they had fear, and they didn't make it. And another version said this way. The men who gave that very, very report died. The Lord killed them with a terrible sickness. Don't speak against God. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. It's best to keep your mouth shut because God says, I heard everything that was said. And they are discrediting my power and my belief. And God said, it's best that, you know, they'll get whatever I hear them say. Have I got a witness? You write your own ticket. You can go to the desert and die. Or you can speak words of faith and then be fruitful. And you can watch the blessings of God. But by no means to your marriage, to your church, to your career, do you charge your own atmosphere with discouragement, doubt, disbelief, and division, and all of these things, and think you're not going to end up defeated. Because God says that if you do so, you're your own worst enemy. God said, this is my house, this is my land. This is my pew. This is my choir. This is my, these are my plants. That's why I use the word his. Everything, I'm his. You're his. The church is his. The land is his. The money is his. The choir is his. The ushers are his. They all belong to God. It's all God. It's God's fans. Everything that's bought with God's money belongs with God and is blessed. And don't you curse it. Don't you curse it. The door is open before I talk too long. God wants to bless. I'm thinking now about Paul. Paul was an I can Christian. We got too many can'ts in the building. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. Paul says, I can do all. No, wait a minute, Paul. Paul, didn't you do it? Are you hyperbolizing, Paul? Aren't you exaggerating, Paul? You can do how many? Something, most things, the thing that makes sense, the natural things, the normal things. Paul, that must be what you're talking about. The thing that humanistically speaking you can do, I can do some things, Paul. No. Paul said, I can do all. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. But the congregation can become their own worst enemy. Have I got a witness? Stand to your feet. The congregation can become their own worst enemy. God wants to bless you. God wants to keep you. God wants to deliver you. But you can become your own worst enemy. If you talk against something that you are part of, you become your own worst enemy.